You and Me and BPD. Season 3, Episode 7, Identity Disturbance. Hello. It's been a while. With the summer and my son being on, summer vacation and stuff, it's just getting around to recording a podcast is, not the easiest thing, but we still do it. Today's episode is going to be a little bit rambly. It's going to be about the topic of identity disturbance, which sounds really daunting. And if you are not somebody who has BPD or has a mental illness that kind of disrupts your sense of self, you might not fully understand this, but I know that I deal with this a lot, and I know that there are several other people who out there who say that this is possibly the hardest part of living with this mental illness. So in this episode, I'm hoping to kind of break down what identity disturbance is and explain how I experience it and kind of just give a little bit of a way of just knowing that you're not alone if you are experiencing this, and just getting it off my chest because I feel like it's something that I struggle a lot with and I struggle to talk about, and I don't fully know how to talk about it. So as I mentioned, this can be very rambly, but hopefully you learn something. So starting straight off, what is identity disturbance? The DSM-5 marks identity disturbance as this kind of persistent fragmentation of the sense of self. And when we look at borderline personality disorder, as I mentioned multiple times, there are about 9 key things that are symptoms of BPD, and you have to meet at least 6 of them to be diagnosed. It's 5 or 6, one of those ones. But this kind of markedly disturbed sense of self, this fragmentation of the self, this kind of not even fully understanding how the self appears in the world, is a very prevalent symptom among a lot of people with BPD. And when you think about identity, if you know anything about how children form their identity and how personality and kind of temperament is developed in children, then it makes sense why people with BPD might have identity disturbance. For the most part, people with BPD typically struggle with childhood neglect, with childhood abuse, with traumatic childhoods, and we know from child development that, children just have different temperaments. There are some children who are full of energy and who are very outgoing and energetic, and there are other children who are a little bit more withdrawn and a little bit more introverted. And when you take a child and you put them in a chaotic or neglectful or traumatic childhood, even if it's not traumatic to other people, when you take a child who already has maybe a more withdrawn, introverted temperament, and you put them in a place where maybe their emotional needs are not being met, or they're having to deal with a lot of chaos in the home, or a lot of, fighting between parents and not knowing how to process their own emotions, you can see why this identity disturbance would develop. And in my case, I didn't deal with a lot of neglect or a lot of trauma or abuse, but I did have a lot of emotional neglect. So when I was younger, I didn't feel like I could talk about my emotions, and I didn't feel like anybody would listen. And looking back on it, this kind of forced me to take my emotions, and when I was angry and when I was sad and whatever I was feeling, and kind of push it down and lessen it so that I wouldn't bother anybody else. So from a young age, I knew I couldn't really talk about how I was feeling. And now that I know I'm autistic, knowing that I didn't know how to really make friends and how to connect with people, and then on top of that, not being able to talk about how I was feeling, created this sense of self that was very disjointed and fragmented. And when I got older and I got to, you know, high school age, that's when it really started to appear more like I just didn't know who I was. And I remember being like 14, 15, like being pretty young and just not even knowing. Like, I didn't want to go to university because I didn't want to choose anything. I didn't want to say, this is who I'm going to be for the rest of my life and choose a job or a career. I didn't even think I would go to university. I was like passively suicidal. Like, I didn't even know that I was going to be here. I mean, I'm turning 30 at the end of July, and I didn't even know I was going to meet 30. Like, I did not have any ideas of the future. And on top of that, because I struggled so much with this internal sense of not knowing who I was, I would take on a lot of traits based on the people I was around. So sometimes I would do things that I didn't even want to, or things that I knew I shouldn't be doing because I was with other people. And when you look up people with BPD, there's kind of this phenomenon that happens, and I believe it has to do with identity disturbance, where people say that they can completely shift. They can completely be totally different depending on who they're with or depending on what's happening in their life. And that's how I was. A lot of the time I went through the people that I was dating and the people that I spent a lot of my time with, I would take on their traits. I would start to speak like them. I would start to think like them. I mean, when I was in high school, I was Jehovah's Witness, and I believed very heavily in that religion, and I would go to meetings. And part of this identity disturbance is trying to find anything to kind of root yourself to. So for me, when I was in high school, it was religion. It was this Jehovah's Witness perspective. It was trying to find myself in God. And then it was trying to find myself in musicals and trying to find myself in a job. And then eventually it was trying to find myself as a mom, trying to find myself as a married person. Like, all of these different things that I connected myself to and said, this is who I am. And it never lasted for very long. Because one of the hardest things is you can connect yourself to 1,001 different things, but at the end of the day, and this is where it becomes really hard, you ultimately are by yourself. And I know a lot of people, I know when I used to live by myself, the worst times that my mental health was the worst was at night when I was by myself, when there was no one else around. There was no one else for me to kind of cling to and hold on to. And that's when my brain would start to kind of spin. And I would have these existential questions of like, who am I? What am I doing? What do I want with my life? And the moment I would, even just saying those now, I have goosebumps. It makes me feel so uncomfortable to be met with those questions because I don't know. I'm about to be 30 and I still don't know. And for a lot of people, they look at that, and outside of the BPD world, a lot of people would look at that and be like, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to know. But there's this sense of, I want to have something to ground myself to. Like, it's really hard because I feel like I've constantly been searching basically my whole life for something to feel connected to, something to tell me that the way I am is fine, or to tell me how to be, because I don't know how to be the person that I am. And that's like really interesting, because so now I'm a Buddhist, right? I read a lot of Buddhist philosophy and psychology and stuff. And even that, I find myself sometimes clinging to that. And Buddhism is something that helps me a whole lot, but I also understand that because of the way my brain works, I sometimes take on this kind of character. And that's what it feels like. It feels like acting a lot of the time. Like I am pretending to be somebody who is all about one topic. And I look around me and I see people, like I know people who are all about, if they're an artist, they're all about their art. They love their art. They do their art all day long. It's what brings them joy. And I go, I can't be that. I can't be this person that is all about one thing. I know other people who are all about like weightlifting or all about sports, and that's their whole life and that's what they put all their energy into. And I look at them and go, that is amazing. Like, I wish I had something that I could be 100% all about, but I don't. And even with the diagnosis of BPD, and I've seen people before who say that getting diagnosed made their mental health worse, and I can understand why, because sometimes even just taking on a diagnosis can become all that people are about. Like, I was scared when I started this podcast because I didn't want to be stuck in a specific view from people on the internet that, you know, all I am is a person with BPD. Like, that's it. End of story. That's all I am. Because that's not true. And that's kind of the interesting thing about an identity, is that most people are not all or nothing people. Most people have lots of different things that they're into. They might have one thing that they kind of make their life about or that they spend a lot of time doing, but that's not all they are. And yet, my brain kind of has looked around at the world and said, I need to have something. I need to, because of how just like negative it can get and how kind of it's isolating and it's scary to the point that like I sometimes don't even know who I am anymore. And I know that I have the name Steph, right? I know that I'm married. I know that I have a child. I know that I have this podcast. I know that I do yoga and meditation, and I know that I do all these things, but fundamentally there's still that kind of like existential overlying question of like, who are you? And hearing that is just like the hardest thing. And I hate it. I hate that. Like, this is the part of the whole diagnosis that I just, it's the hardest thing for me to deal with, because I feel like there's so much. When I was younger, I used to think, I'm broken, and I'll be broken my whole entire life. And I truly believe that. I truly believe that I would never get to a point that I was better, quote unquote. But like, what even is being better? Like, I'm not on medication, and a lot of people would say that means that I'm better. But like, obviously I still have these existential questions. And this is one of the things too, is that this emotional or this identity disturbance isn't just like a one-off question. Like, some people have these questions and, you know, they say, oh, that's just your mid-20s. Like, that's just your 30s. But like, the kind of hardest thing to deal with, in my opinion, is this kind of constant questioning, this constant kind of, why am I the way I am? And I can logically trace back, and I've done a lot of work and I've done a lot of therapy to figure out why. But then the question comes up again, and the repeated question comes up, and then, at least for me, in the back of my head, there's a little voice that says, it's because you're broken. It's because you're wrong. It's because you just inherently are a bad person and will always be a bad person. And it's hard. It's hard to deal with that on a near daily basis. And there's a lot of people who distract themselves. And I've talked about addiction before on this podcast. There's a lot of people who distract themselves with drinking or drugs or whatever else that they need to distract themselves with, because they can't handle the everyday nagging voice in the back of their head. Like, there's some people who, at least for me, sometimes I won't even say like we, like I won't even say I'll say we, because it feels like there are multiple Stephanies. Like, for a time I thought like maybe I have DID, because there's so many different versions of me that come out depending on where I am and who I'm being. Fundamentally, I don't have DID. I have a very fragmented identity of self. I'm still Steph, even when I'm in like a really negative mindset. I know that. But it's like I don't identify with them. It's like they're completely separate. Like, they're separate. I even say it to my husband sometimes. I'm like, that was other Steph, not this Steph that's here now. And it's hard because, especially when you also deal with dissociation, I can do things and I can say things that suddenly I'll turn around and be like, I don't believe that. I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry. And I can be a horrible person. I used to struggle a lot with my anger. I don't anymore, which I'm so thankful for. But I used to have emotional outbursts where I would say horrible things, and then I turn around and say, I don't mean that. I'm sorry. I never meant to say that. But I said it. And just knowing that I said it and living with that guilt and that fragmented self was so hard to handle. And then it just feeds into the voice in my head, at least, that says you're a horrible person. Because I'm like, yeah, I am a horrible person, because I said this horrible thing to people that I love and to people that I truly respect or that I never meant to hurt. And it's interesting, because the more that I spend time with myself, you know, like, I'm not in therapy, I don't take medication, and those are active decisions that I've made, because I was in therapy for 2.5 years, I was on medication for 2.5 years, and I found that at the end of the day, I felt so disconnected with myself that I started to spend more time by myself. I started to spend more time working on myself. I started to spend more time listening to the way that I was speaking to myself. And I realized that I am very fragmented, and there's a part of me that doesn't want to be that way. There's a part of me that keeps on thinking, oh, maybe I'll get better. Like, maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and I won't be this way anymore. But I don't think that's gonna happen. And I think that's just because identities and personalities are so, just so intense. And I don't think that fundamentally we are meant to be one kind of like person or one kind of identity or personality. And what's really interesting is that in today's world, unfortunately, we live in a place where you're kind of forced to do one role. You have a job, or you get married, and that's about it. That's supposed to be all that takes up your time. And for some people, that's great. It works. You know, they get married or they start their job and they're all about their job and they're all about their marriage, and that's all that matters to them. And for me, it just doesn't work like that. I've realized over the past couple months that this kind of fragmented self is the self that I'm the most comfortable with, even though it is so hard to handle. And one of the things that I've learned is that kind of wanting to change and this constant need to be something that I am inherently not doesn't serve any purpose for me. It doesn't help me in any way. And life cannot be lived trying to be something that you're not. You know, like I can't constantly be looking at other people and comparing myself to them and thinking that I would be better if I was like them, because I'm not. Because I've lived this life. I've lived everything in this life. And I truly believe that all the different identities I've taken on and let go of, it's like dying to yourself multiple times. Like, I feel like there's this kind of overarching sense that I have been so many different people, and now I'm getting to the point where I have to kind of accept this fragmented self, even if it's hard. And if you message me and you talk to me, I will almost always tell you, start journaling, start meditating, start spending time with yourself, learning about who you are. Because even if you find this fragmented self and this disconnected personality that doesn't seem to have anything in common with each other, at least you know that it's like in your head. And hopefully it's who you are. And when you really get down to it, I think you just start to realize that, like, none of it really matters. At least for me, I don't hold on to any part of myself. And even when I talk about BPD and when I have conversations with people, like, BPD is not all that I am. And yes, I struggle. Yes, I have this like identity disturbance. Yes, I cannot fully 100% say that I am happy at any moment in time, or I can't say that I am, you know, secure in myself. And I really want to be, but that wanting to be something that I'm not kind of contributes to even more chaos within me. So it's been really interesting to kind of take a step back and realize that the stories that I've told myself of you're broken, you're wrong, there's something wrong with you, is not even myself. It comes from my childhood. It comes from the society. It comes from not feeling like other people and not knowing how to relate to other people. And it comes from trauma, and it's a trauma response. And there's people out there who say that BPD is a trauma response. It is a way that the body and the mind copes with everything else going on around it from a young age. And when I look at that, I can kind of understand that. Because even my son is 9, and the way he talks about himself is so sure and so beautiful. And I look at him and I go, I wish I could be like that. Like, I wish that I could go back and talk to little Stephanie and say, like, it's gonna be fine. You're going to be fine. And you're not broken. And there's nothing wrong with you. And it's okay to be this way. It's okay to feel these feelings. It's okay to feel overwhelmed. It's okay to not even know how you feel, or to disconnect, or to dissociate. Like, it is fine to do that. And especially recently, with so many more things, people talking about BPD, I've seen so many people talk about, you know, the hardness of their anger issues, or feeling like they're obsessed with the other person, like their favorite person, or, you know, not knowing how to handle their triggers. And I think all of that is hard, but for me especially, the identity aspect is the hardest part, because it means that I can very quickly, and I recognize this now, I can very quickly fall into bad mindsets, and I can very quickly be manipulated into doing things that I don't necessarily agree with or that I don't want to do. But I just, sometimes it's just the easiest thing, and like, that sucks to say. It's not easy. If you feel like this, it's not easy. And I hope you know that you are not ever alone in these struggles. And I talk about this to people sometimes, and I can see on their faces they don't fully understand, which is why I wanted to make a podcast episode about it, because I feel like someone out there who listens to this is going to say, oh my god, I feel exactly the same way. And if that's you, we are in this boat together. Like, I wish you could be sitting in front of me and I could be having an actual conversation with you, because it is not easy. And I see you so much. And I hope that eventually, whether you're just starting your journey or whether you have been working on your mental health for a very long time, I hope that eventually you get to the point where you just start to kind of unpack all of the things that you put on yourself, and you listen to the voice in your head, and you just kind of let it go and acknowledge that it's there, and just learn that it's just gonna be there. You know, some people have birthmarks, some people have disabilities, like physical disabilities, and they just have to accept that it's there. Sometimes people get into really traumatic situations, and I think part of the healing process is just recognizing that you are different, and it's okay to be different. And a lot of the times people say it's okay to be different, but we really know. We can tell that, like, I'm a different kind of different. Like, I know not everybody deals with this identity thing, because sometimes I even talk to my husband about it, and he's like, I have no clue what you're talking about. I don't feel that at all. And I'm like, oh, cool. That's cool. You don't experience that? Huh, that's interesting. It really is just me. But I know it's not me. And I hope you know it's not just you. I see you. I honor you. I honor this path that we are walking together, and I am so grateful that you are here to listen to this, even if you're in a bad space, even if your brain is kind of critiquing you and feeling emotionally distraught or whatever it might be. I hope you know that you are valid, and this mental illness is not easy. And wishing to be something that you're not is probably the hardest thing to deal with. And eventually, I think we just have to start acknowledging that our stories that we write about ourselves are not the end all be all. Like, we are still continuing to write our stories. And if that means that you wake up tomorrow and you just kind of go about your day with this voice in your head, and you just kind of feel these feelings and allow yourself to be in them when they come, this kind of distraughtness, this kind of like fear or anxiety, and you just let it be and keep on being alive, that is the best thing that you can do for yourself and the people in your life. And as I've said, you're not alone, and I'm not alone, and I know that. And I really appreciate everybody who gives this podcast a listen, because I know that it is helpful for me, and it is hopefully helpful for you. As always, if you want to reach out and you want to message me, you can get in contact on my Instagram at journey, journey.bound, bound. I am always available to listen and talk, and if you want to be friends, I'll be your friend. But I thank you, and I honor you, and I see you, and I love you, and you're not alone. And it's hard. It is very hard. And I think the more we talk about it and how hard it is, the easier it gets to handle. So I'm sending you so much love. And I'll see you later. Bye.